If I had to live my life without you near me, the days would all be empty. The nights would seem so long. With you I see forever, oh, so clearly. I might have been in love before, but it never felt this strong. Our dreams are young and we both know they'll take us where we want to go. Hold me now, touch me now. My love for you, you ought to know by now how much I love you. One thing you can be sure of, I'll never ask for more than your love. Nothing's gonna change my love for you, you ought to know by now how much I love you. The world may change my whole life.
Om Shanti. Nothing gonna change my love for you. So the soul is in such deep love with God that it doesn't want anything except love. Such a soul, so much lost in God's love, can experience super sensuous bliss at every moment. No matter what life brings, no matter what situations are, how tough the goings go, the soul remains satisfied, deeply stabilized in God's love. So today we'll begin this retreat with a beautiful theme, clear intellect and clean heart. One is heart, another is intellect. Clearing the intellect and cleaning the heart. There was once a very simple devotee. He was a weaver. He used to sell clothes. And he was a devotee of Sri Ram. And whatever he would sell, he would add one sentence, by the wish of Rama. If any customer comes to him and asks, what is the cost of this cloth or this dress? He would say, by the will of Rama, I purchased the cloth for this much amount. By the will of Rama, I prepared this dress. By the will of Rama, this much is the cost of labor. And by the will of Rama, this much is the total cost of the dress. So he was totally dependent on his chosen deity, Rama. Once he finished his day's work, he went home, had his supper, his dinner, and after that, he was just sitting. So a group of robbers came, and they were going to rob the king's palace. And they thought, this man is good, we will take him as a porter. Whatever we will rob, we will lay that on his back and we will carry him. So they catch hold of him and they take him. They break into the palace. The robbers break into the palace and they rob various things, put it into a sack, and they come out and they put all that sacks on his back, the back of that simple devotee. And as they were doing that, suddenly the soldiers see them and soldiers run after them. So those robbers, they just drop their baggages, the bags of treasures there only, and they run away. So the soldiers come and they catch hold of this simple man, the devotee. And they put him behind the bars. The next day in the morning, there is a court of king, and many people from the village of that simple man had also come to the court to see, to listen to the judgment. Now the king asks the person, the simple man, the devotee, what happened, tell us in detail. So this is how he goes. By the wish of Rama, I finished my day's work. By the wish of Rama, I had my dinner. By the wish of Rama, I was sitting outside. And by the wish of Rama, the gang of robbers came. And by the wish of Rama, they caught hold of me. And by the wish of Rama, they took me to the palace. And by the wish of Rama, they broke into the palace. And by the wish of Rama, they looted all the treasures, royal treasures. And by the wish of Rama, they came out. And by the wish of Rama, they put all that loads, those sacks of treasure on my back. And by the wish of Rama, at that very moment your soldiers came. And by the wish of Rama, only these robbers ran away. And my lord, by the wish of Rama, your soldiers caught hold of me. And then by the wish of Rama, they put me behind the bars. And by the wish of Rama, now I am in front of you. So this was the answer given by the devotee. And the king is awestruck to hear that. What a simple man, what an innocent man he is. It's not possible that such a man will ever steal. And king believes in him and releases him. So this man now is going back with his co-villagers or the friends who had come to see what has happened to this man. And whilst going, he says, by the wish of Rama, the king released me. So this is an example of a devotee who was totally surrendered unto his chosen deity. Everything that is happening, everything that was happening in his life, he would say, everything is by his will and I accept his will. And that's the height of surrender, or such a clean heart, such a clear intellect. There's no deceit, deception, uncleanliness, impurity, egoism, nothing. A very clean and simple heart. So Baba often says, and we have heard it multiple times in Murli, that Baba loves clean hearts. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the kingdom of God. It's written in Bible. Those who are very clean of heart, they alone will see God. And in those hearts where there are plots, deception, jealousy, pride, ego, and other vices, Baba doesn't like that. So the goal of this Brahmin life is to have a very clean heart. The goal of this Brahmin life is to have a very, very clear intellect. So there are two things. One is intellect, one is heart. Which is more important? Heart and intellect. This Brahmin family is divided into two groups. One are mystics, others are intellectuals, philosophers. One are jnanis, too much jnana, and others are heart. Their hearts are full with emotions for God. Like you must have seen in Madhuban, so many mothers come. They are illiterate. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to speak even. But they love Baba too much. Theirs is a love of surrender. If you see in Pandav Bhavan, in Shantivan, you will see lot of sevadharis, servers who come there. They hardly, many of them don't know even writing. But their heart is full of love. So that is the group which is known as mystics. That is the group which are known as devotees, like emotional group. On another side, there are philosophers who reason, who logic is there, rational, they rationalize. So, on one side is heart, another side is intellect. Which is more powerful? Heart. But then there's a risk in being too much heartful. Emotions, too much emotions. And one may cry many times and so many things. Too much sensitive. But in intellect also, one becomes too much intellectual. One forgets the emotional part. There's hardly any tears in the eyes for God. They cry for all other. They will never cry. They become more of absolutely unemotional, very hard and rigid in life. So two things are there. One is heart, another is intellect. Both are necessary. Emotions should be controlled by jnana. Otherwise, emotions will lead you astray. If unbridled emotions are there, uncontrolled emotions are there, and it is not being controlled by jnana, by logic, those emotions are very dangerous. In psychology, there is one word, HSP. Anybody is aware of this? What is HSP? Highly sensitive persons. Very, very sensitive persons. Touch me not. If you just say them one thing, they will get upset. If you tell them why you are sitting there, just sit on that bed. They are upset, unhappy. For 2 days, they will not talk with you. You come from this side, they'll go that side. So that's known as too sensitive. Slightest difficulty and they start crying. The tears they have kept here, you know. And the button is in somebody's hand, the remote. Somebody presses button, tears start flowing. So that is known as HSP. So becoming HSP, highly sensitive person, is also not a part of jnana. And to becoming too intellectual, you know, in English, in the path of bhakti, there is a saying, jnana, ajnana is darkness. Ignorance is darkness. But jnana is a great darkness, maha andhakar. Why? Because jnana induces ego. And any jnana which induces ego is the great darkness. Ignorance is darkness, agreed. But knowledge is the great darkness. The real knowledge is when one is without ego. That is the only light. Otherwise, any knowledge that makes you egoistic is darkness again. So, it's a journey from darkness to great darkness and to great light. From ignorance, you come in jnana. That's good. But then, sometimes jnana also induces arrogance. And then gradually you even go beyond that. And you come to the conclusion that I do not know. There are many things still for me to know. I have not understood many things. When you, last Sunday's Murli, if you remember, Baba had taken this point. I know everything. I have become yogi. I have become jnani. This is an ego. You remember last Sunday's Avyakta Murli? 4 types of balance, Baba said. Jnana and yoga. All those things. Yoga and seva. Balance is Baba described, no? Detached and loving. Balance. Okay? Nirman and Soman. The 4 types of balance Baba described in last Sunday's Murli. So one of the balance was this. On one side there is an intoxication and happiness of having achieved. But on another side there should be desire to know more, to understand more. So the real knowledge is the one when we understand that I do not know many things. The real knowledge is when I have not achieved anything. I have to achieve whatever I have understood, whatever I have achieved, whatever yoga I have done, whatever service I have done, that is but a drop in ocean. To come to this conclusion is the beginning of knowledge. And to think that I know everything, that is an ignorance, that is an arrogance. Stephen Hawking had said a very beautiful thing. He said, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, but illusion of knowledge. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, but illusion. I know many things, I have many things, I have achieved many things, I am a good yogi, I am a good sevadhari, I am a good jnani. We have achieved God, all those things. They are good on one side, but then they should not make you self-complacent. The desire to know, the desire to learn should always be there in the heart. So, both things are needed. Clean intellect, clear intellect and clean heart. When there is a balance of these two things, then the life is beautiful. Last Sunday's Murli Baba said, balance is an art. Balance is a blessing. Balance is the property. Balance is the property. Balance is the art. Balance is the blessing. Balance is happiness. So keeping a balance of things in life is very important. To be intellectual is a good thing, but one should not get devoid of all the feelings. You know, one good thing about bhakti, devotion, are feelings. Many people say that when they were devotee, they used to shed lot of tears for God. Now since the time they have come in jnana, all tears have dried up. Now they don't cry for Baba. They don't cry in front of Him. Cry in the sense, I am not talking of that crying. Crying for the very pure love for love's sake. So heart should be emotional, intellect should be brainy. Both things are needed. So first of all, we will see what are the functions of intellect. Anyone? What are the functions of intellect? And then we'll see what are the functions of heart. And then we will see how to cleanse the heart and how to make the intellect clear. Yes? What are the functions of intellect? Decision. There are 7 functions of intellect. One is decision. Next. To discern. That is the 2nd function of intellect. Then. Keep balance. Okay. What else? Imagination. It's the intellect that imagines or the mind? We say about mind, not intellect. What? Okay, so we'll list. The first function of intellect is judging. Judgment. To judge. Like a judge is sitting and there is a case in front of him. So he has to judge who is right and who is wrong. He has to pronounce judgment. So to pronounce judgment is the function of the intellect. So when the intellect is clean, whatever judgment we will give, that will be right. If a person comes to him, if 2 persons are coming to me and they are sharing their problem, if my intellect is clean, I will give them right judgment. If my intellect is not clean, clear, my judgment would be at fault. So, the first function of intellect is judgment. The second function of intellect is understanding. I have Murli in front of me. When my intellect is clear, my understanding would be very clear. My intellect is clouded, my understanding would be clouded. If there is a clutter, all the dirt, dust in the intellect, the same thing would be my understanding. So if you want to understand things, life, your own relationships, your happiness, your unhappiness, what is happening in my life at present? Why this upheaval? Why this disturbance? You know, the most difficult task sometimes is to understand ourselves. What is happening in me? Am I happy or unhappy? Whatever that I have done in my life, has that made me happy or unhappy? So the second function of intellect is understanding. So when the intellect is clear, your understanding would be clear. The third function of intellect is to decide. Now, the first function I said judge, and the third I am saying is decide. Decision, where there are two options, I have to take one. That is known as decision. Judge means you judge somebody else. Decision means there are choices and I have to make one choice. For example, this is a retreat which is going on. There are many people who have not come here. So they had two options, whether to go or not to go. So they decided not to go because they had some other good things to be done. So that's the decision they have taken. While those who are here, they thought, this is most important for me. I need silence. I need break. Where I am running unnecessarily in life. And they opted for this. So it's the intellect that decides. The fourth function of intellect is to discern, to discriminate. What is real, what is unreal? What is happiness, what is unhappiness? What is true, what is untrue? What is essence and what is essenceless? What I should? To understand life, what is truth and what is falsehood? What is illusion? Am I living in illusion? Thinking that he is mine, she is mine. These children are mine. This house is mine. And really speaking, nothing is mine. But I am living under a very sweet illusion, thinking that everybody loves me so much. There was a joke which had come on internet or in WhatsApp. There's a man who died. At the time of death, his wife was there and his son was there. And he was the man who had thousands of Facebook friends. And he had thousands of WhatsApp group members. And thousands of social media friends. But none of them were present at the time of his death. So where they had gone? And I was thinking, they are mine. This is an illusion I am living under. He is mine, she is mine, this is mine, that is mine. And now this is, I have this and I want more. All the worldly things. It's not that we should not use them, but know that they are temporary. But know in the heart of hearts that nothing is going to stay. Baba keeps on saying in Murli, destruction is just round the corner. Anything can happen at any moment. And what will be the stage of my mind if I die right now? Right now, here. Something happens and the soul goes out. With what memories, remembrance, awareness I will go out? That's a great question one must ask oneself. So the fourth function of intellect is to discern, to discriminate. The next function of the intellect is to imbibe. It is the intellect that imbibes the knowledge. When your intellect is clear, your imbibition will be very strong. Imbibe means to drink. The word imbibe means to drink. Dharan karna in Hindi. You imbibe that much only to the extent your intellect is clear. Suppose there is a Murli. And I read that Murli, and everybody reads the Murli. How much I am imbibing it? One is to understand. One is to read, to understand. But many of the things are just at the level of understanding. They have not gone inside and become the part of my nature. So to imbibe is the function of intellect. The sixth function of intellect is to rationalize, to be logical. Everything we need to analyze. If suppose an event happened in life and I took many wrong decisions and I had to suffer a lot. Now that event has gone. Now what do I learn from this event? I have committed a blunder, a mistake. But what do I learn from it? If I don't learn, I will repeat the same mistake. In one of the IAS exams, this was the topic given to the students, IAS students. The only lesson that we have learned from history is that we have not learned any lesson. The only lesson that we have learned from history is that we have not learned any lesson. That was the topic for essay writing. So this should not happen to us. If we are defeated, if we faced failures, if there are breakups in relationships, if the graph of effort has gone down, if everything is running helter-kilter, everything is disturbed in life, whatever that has happened, that is happening. Stop and analyze. This is the function of the intellect. So when the intellect would be clean, clear, that time your analysis would be correct. And from that analysis, you will draw certain conclusions. And then you will resolve, make some planning, and then implementation. And then the same mistake would not get committed. In one of the Avyakta Murli, Baba had given definition of intense effort. Intense effort means not to repeat the same mistake again. Baba is not telling not to commit mistakes. You are free to commit mistake, but don't commit the same mistake again. You can commit 100 mistakes, that's fine. But only care you have to take is that don't commit the same mistake again. Don't commit the same blunder again. Because with every repetition of mistakes, there would be repentance. There would be guilt consciousness, and which is a very dangerous emotion. Whenever there is a guilt, you just can't do anything in life. That guilt pulls you, that guilt makes you depressed, frustrated all the time. I have done this, I have done this, I have done this, I should not have done. This is not worthy of me and still I did it. Many people keep on calling and they say, we are Kumar, we are Kumari, we are at center, we are at home. And we did not want this to happen, but still we engaged in such and such relationships and now we are repenting. What Baba will think of me? I am in Gyan since 10 years, 20 years, still I did this thing. And many things they keep on telling. So the sixth function of intellect is, what I said? To rationalize. And the seventh function of intellect is to memorize things. To memorize. Anything, because memory is a very wonderful thing. And everyone must work on his memory. Trying to recall things, try to remember things. And the most important thing to remember in life, in Brahmin life, is Murli. How many of you think that their power to remember Murli is not very great? Just raise your hands. How many of you think that the power to retain Murli is very less? Okay, none. So you have got all of you in between. Actually, one must keep on working on one's memory all the time. You have that today, Murli? Morning Murli was there? So, whenever you have a Murli, One should also make an aim to remember points. Because if you don't remember, what are you going to churn throughout the day? Baba said, keep on churning throughout the day. You listen to the Murli. You liked it very much. It was so beautiful. But then what was beautiful? Don't ask. To go to the Murli class and to open the book and the teacher is saying essence of the Murli and you wrote essence. And she said, this is the question, this is the answer, and you wrote question and answer. And then you closed your diary and then you keep it aside and then you keep on rocking like this for 1 hour. And then suddenly the Murli finishes and there is the essence for Dharna. And then again you open your diary, again you write 2 points, and then you write your blessing, and then you write your slogan, and it is closed. Now the diary is closed, now we will meet tomorrow, next day. And then somebody asks you, what was in the Murli? How was the Murli? You said, Murli was so beautiful. It was so sweet. But what was it? Don't ask that. Because there is no effort to remember it. So I'll just, in the course of 2 days, we will see certain Murli churning methods also. But one thing I want to tell you is, rather than writing points of Murli, just write down topics. Just write down topics. For example, from today's Murli, Ram's direction and Ravan's direction, first topic. And throughout the day, whenever you get time, churn on this. From today's Murli, love of God, what it does. From blessing, what it does. From today's Murli, if Baba is in my eyes, what will happen? Just a question or a topic. Write down only that much. In small page, just write down topics. Whilst listening to the Murli early in the morning in class, and then throughout the day, make attempts, efforts to remember that. What I heard, what I wrote, because that will keep the intellect busy. Otherwise, this intellect has a tendency to wander here and there. Intellect has a tendency to make excuses and to do multiple things, unnecessary, wasteful, and negative things. So, the best thing is the effort to remember what Baba said in the Murli. So write down few points and then throughout the day, if you are waiting for somebody, try to recall. If you are traveling by bus, by train, by flight, engage your mind, intellect in that. So these are the 7 functions of the intellect. So when the intellect is clear, all these 7 things would be clear. When the intellect is pure, your memorization capacity would be very high. You will just read once and you will remember what Baba said. You don't have to keep on remembering it multiple times. So, every day we get this 3-page or 4-page Murli with us. Make effort, make attempt to memorize at least slogan or the blessing. 2 things. If you can't remember the entire Murli, just try to recall at least this dharna. Pay full attention to the study and make yourself prosperous. Do not ask for anything. Become multimillionaire by having remembrance of one father and by imbibing purity. In order to be liberated from the omens of Rahu, donate the vices. Hear no evil. Remove from your intellect the things through which you came down the ladder and became without virtue. So these are the 2 essence. So taking out any points, committing it to the memory and trying to recall. Sometimes you should become like a child. How a child reads a poetry? He tries to read it multiple reading. And one more thing. One is Murli reading, second is Murli revision. So revision you have to do within 24 hours, otherwise you forget what is said. You have to revise the Murli in first 24 hours, the laws of the memory say that you forget if you don't revise. Suppose I meet a new brother, for example, Kumar brother I met, he told me his name. If I don't try to recall, I will forget his name. So try to recall, revise. And one more is discussion. Discussion about knowledge. Just now I think you had a beautiful game here. I didn't understand the full of it, but sister explained that you were trying to correlate all the things to Baba's Gyan. So this is also one of the ways of contemplation on Baba's Gyan. So these are the seven functions of intellect. First I said, first to judge, second understand, third decide, then discriminate, then imbibe, then rationalize, and then memorize. So when intellect is very clear, all the seven things which are utmost importance, which have got utmost importance in our daily life, they become very clear. You can remember things, you can imbibe knowledge, you can rationalize things, you take proper decisions, and life is all about decisions. You know, early in the morning you get up, you have to take a decision. There was a man who was always happy. His name was Abdullah. So he was on his deathbed. No matter what happened, he was ever happy. He was like a guru. And his disciple asked him, Master, please tell me what is the secret of your happiness? How come that you remained happy throughout your life? So he said, he gave a beautiful answer. He said, every day when I wake up, I talk with myself. I tell myself, Abdullah, what do you want? Happiness or unhappiness? And then I only answer, happiness. So don't behave in any manner that will make you unhappy. So it's a self-talk. It's a self-decision. It's an everyday decision that you take. Early in the morning, should I waste my time on internet? Should I waste my time on social media? Unnecessarily surfing Google, streaming videos? Or should I take some point of knowledge from today's Murli and churn it deeply? What should I do? That is a decision. If the intellect is clear, the decision would be correct. And you will end up churning some deep point of knowledge. And you know one beautiful thing about knowledge. Suppose if you churned one point of knowledge, okay? And throughout the day, you found that it was not useful to you. Throughout the day, you did not use it. But any churning which is done today will be helpful in long run at any point of time. We never know that moment for which we are doing the churning now. Some difficult situation is going to come tomorrow, for example. I don't know about what is going to happen tomorrow, but as a routine, I churned. So that particular point will be my support tomorrow. In that difficult of the difficult situations. You know, in the life of Thomas Alva Edison, there's a mention of an event in 1910. There was a fire and all his research lab and everything got burnt to ashes. So much research and everything which was there in New York, Thousand Island, everything which was there was razed to the ground. And he was just watching like this. Everything was burning. His son came running and he said, oh father, see what is happening. So he said to his father, go and call your mother. She will never see such a beautiful spectacle ever. So much fire. And what he said, you know, look my son, all the mistakes that we have committed is getting burnt. All our mistakes. Now this is an event where you have worked so much in your life, whole life you have devoted and you have constructed something and you see it is burning. And he is so stable. And within 6 months, he recreated everything. If some other person would have been there, he would have gone in depression. He would have resorted to crying, begging, and so many other things. So what point of knowledge must have helped him? Some deeper understanding was there of life. In the similar manner, when you churn any point of knowledge, any point, it will help you at some or other point of time. Like in last paragraph of today's Murli, vision of brotherhood. Baba said, even this vision of brother and sister pulls you towards Maya. So this will save you in some delicate moment of life when suddenly you feel a deep attraction for somebody. And that can help you. So intellect has got these functions. Now come to the heart. What is the function of the heart? Very difficult. Huh? Pumping, oh, you are talking of this heart. It pumps the blood. And what else? Let's first concentrate on this. It has got four chambers and there are valves inside. So it pumps the blood. It throws the blood in the lungs. It gets purified in the lung. It goes all over the body, comes back. So it's a very important organ. Heart indicates emotions, feelings. The right side of the brain. Creativity. Left side is logic, reasoning. That's what they say. See, emotions are very good things. But as I said, emotions, if uncontrolled, they cause disaster. So every emotion should be guarded by knowledge. Let emotions arise in the heart. That's a good thing. But then they deceive you sometimes. For example, a devotee was going and he sees that a very healthy and hefty man is beating a thin-built man. A very healthy and hefty man is beating a thin man. So he feels mercy, compassion, because he's a devotee of God. And he just stopped that man. Don't do this. And that thin man escapes and runs away. So the hefty man says, what you did? So this devotee says, you were doing such injustice to that thin man. He says, you don't know, he was a thief. He took all my money and now you let him go and he ran away with my money. So that was a good thing that he helped. But then the result was something else. I'm not talking about beating or doing something like that. But then emotions, you know, sometimes when you become emotional, you commit some mistakes. Because emotions are good, but they should be protected by logic, by reasoning, by intellect, understanding. That's what Baba said in today's Murli. There's one question. I said in the morning only, what I am doing with devils, Srimat, devil's mat, devil's directions, and what I am doing with Baba's directions. Now ask yourself, what I was doing following devil's direction and what I was doing following godly direction. This is a question here in Murli. So use both. Logic and heart. Now what the heart should be full of. What are the purest emotions in life? Love. And in love also, love for God. That is the supreme of all other loves. People love their mother, their father, their wives, their husbands, their children. And they shed bucket full of tears for them. But who is the one who sheds tears for God? The purest emotion in the world is divine love. When you are filled with divine love, the chances of committing mistakes are very less. So the heart, if you want the heart to become very, very clean, fill it with divine love. That is first. Next, what should we do to make our heart clean or purify the heart? Yeah. Anyone? What should we do for self-purification or heart purification? Yes. It comes in Murli many times, every day almost, remembering Baba. Knowledge. Fill the heart with knowledge. Fill the heart with Baba's love. Fill the heart with Baba's remembrance. Automatically heart will get cleaned. Fill the heart with disinterest. The more we are attached to the world, the more would be the chances of unhappiness. Baba said in today's Murli, the happiness of this world is the dropping of the crow. Means insignificant. The happiness which you have got is uncompared. You know, when Andrew Carnegie, the richest American who died, he had 7 billion rupees and still he was unhappy because he wanted 10. The richest of the men who were in this world, they died in a very unhappy manner. Even the Alexander, he conquered half the world. But when he died, what was his instruction, you know? To keep his hands like this. So his soldiers asked, but that's not a custom. Once you are on that bier, on that death bed, and we will carry you. So he said, put my hand like this outside, so that people should know that I am going empty-handed. So this world, the comforts, the conveniences, the happiness, the sense pleasure, the sense enjoyment, the whole world is drowned in it. Unless and until you develop that deep sense of vairag, deep disinterest, I don't want anything from this world. My path is different. This is a divine path, a spiritual path, and Baba is with me, that's it. So when the heart is filled with vairag, that time heart becomes clean. When the heart is filled with Baba's love, that time it becomes clean. When the heart is filled with divine remembrance, that time it will become clean. When the heart is filled with tapasya, tyag, renunciation and penance, that time it will become clean. Otherwise, it keeps on becoming unclean throughout the day. When you do intense self-checking, that time it becomes clean. When intermittently you go in silence and solitude, it becomes clean. How many of you love silence? And rest? They love noise, right? How many of you love solitude? Solitude means a place where nobody is there. You are alone. And rest? They love crowd, right? Is it true? How many of you love crowd? Too much crowd. Lot of voices. So what were they who did not raise hands in both? They were somewhere in between. This is also okay. If sound is there, it's fine. If soundless is there, that's okay. So both things. You know, without silence and solitude, progress in spirituality is impossible. Why this place is constructed here? Why these people preferred this place, away from the city, the din and the clamor of the city, surrounded by forest? Why in the olden age, olden days, people, the sadhus, sannyasis, they used to construct their ashram outside? Why Madhuban is there in Mount Abu? The reason is silence. The reason is solitude. Away from the worldly noise. Because in such place only you feel your own presence. In the silence and solitude you listen to that whispers of the divine. In the silence and solitude you listen to the whispers of eternity. So fill the heart with silence. Fill the heart with solitude. And one more thing, third thing which is associated with these two, introspection. Introversion. Deep introversion. Baba said, sit in the cave of introversion. Go in the cave of introversion and sit there. and churn and analyze and self-talk and talk with Baba. So these are few things which everyone must do to cleanse the heart. One more thing is there for cleaning the heart: seva, service, selfless service. Doing service, don't expect anything in return. Don't expect that you will be called on the stage and somebody will garland you. Oh, you have done such a good seva. Baba has already garlanded you the moment you do the seva. You don't need any outside garland or outside praise, outside appreciation. Nothing. Outside name, outside fame, outside glory, nothing. So, doing service in the selfless spirit, doing something for somebody, that cleanses the heart. Many times when some mother would come to Brahma Baba and she would say that I have committed some sin, Baba would say, just engage yourself in gross service now. Next 6 months, keep on doing gross serving, cutting vegetables, doing anything like that. Cleaning the center with broom, anything like that. So, service cleanses the heart. Because in return of service, you get blessings from souls. That's the most important treasure of Brahmin life. You know that the Janki, she, at the age of 103, she is still surviving. Why? One of the reasons is the amount of blessing she is getting from all over the world. She has served, helped tirelessly throughout her life. And can you imagine how much blessings she must be getting? Otherwise, considering the amount of illness she has and whatever bodily disease she has, she is a standing challenge to medical field. Any other person with those illness and that age cannot survive. Cannot survive. And she is surviving. One of the reasons is blessings from all over the world. Just imagine you go somewhere. For example, there is an earthquake. You go and you spend 10 days helping people there. You are not helping them with knowledge. You are not telling them any knowledge. Just helping them like that. Just tirelessly serving them, providing food, providing water, helping them make their huts, homes again. After 10 days, you will find a deep sense of satisfaction. And there everybody is blessing you. Oh, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, thank you. This is the real treasure of life. So fill the heart with selfless service. Service done with soul conscious vision, service done in remembrance of Baba, service done as detached observer, anything like that. So serve. One more point I remembered from today's Sakar Murli. Baba remembered some plays, outside plays. Baba says to Mahavir children that you can go and watch those plays as a detached observer. That's also one of the points in today's Murli. So, fill the heart with service. I have to serve, I have to serve, I have to serve. Baba says, even your sleep should get disturbed with that thought that I have to serve, I have to serve, I have to serve. So these are some of the things to fill the heart with so that we cleanse the heart. And few things about intellect. To sharpen the intellect. Develop new methods of churning. Convert this knowledge into some spiritual activity. After some time, we are going to have a spiritual activity here. Just now you had some activity conducted by brother. We will have one more activity here. The name of the activity is Six Thinking Hats. Six Thinking Hats. It's a beautiful activity. After 15 minutes, we will be taking up. And on the basis of that activity, we will heighten some of the spiritual disciplines, and that is our topic for the workshop. So, keeping a balance of heart and intellect, keeping the balance of love and logic, purifying the heart and sharpening the intellect is very important. Keep on sharpening the intellect. Abraham Lincoln was once asked, if you are given 6 hours to cut a tree, what you will do? He said, for first 4 hours, I will sharpen the axe. And then in 2 hours, I will cut the tree. Rather than taking the axe and started cutting the tree, what I will do was 4 hours, sharpen the axe. And what we are doing in these 2 days is sharpening the axe. Just now your axe got sharpened by that activity which was done. So keep on sharpening the intellect. And intellect gets sharpened by reasoning, by logic, by churning, by remembering, by memorizing, by discussing. Form a small group wherever you are later on, in your center, at home, and at night before sleeping, make it a point that you discuss each and every point of Murli. Okay? So, the theme is clear intellect and clean heart. So, let's sit in meditation. Om Shanti.